MSW Media. Please join me in thanking our new sponsor, Home Chef. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering you 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/dailybeans. Hello and welcome to the Daily Beans for Wednesday, May 8th, 2024. Today, it's Stormy Daniels Day in the Manhattan courtroom. Kristi Noem begged for a job with the NRA. A federal judge blasts Alabama for threatening to prosecute groups aiding out-of-state abortions. What to know about the Trump campaign's use of artificial intelligence with one Brad Parscale. And Marjorie Taylor Greene meets twice with Mike Johnson to make her demands as she threatens to file a motion to vacate his job. I'm Allison Gill.
And I'm Dana Goldberg.
It is hump day and it's Stormy Daniels Day. Now, I know we record on Tuesday, but that's just fun for me.
It's fun. I don't even know what to say because I think if you've been following it, her testimony, apparently she said a few extra things that maybe she shouldn't have. And the defense didn't do a very good job of objecting when they needed to. And even though the judge was like, you know, let's try and keep your, you know, the witness under control. He also said to the other lawyers, if you wanted to object, you should have objected.
Yeah, he actually had to object sua sponte on behalf of the defense.
Yeah.
And that after her direct examination, that's when Trump's team filed for a motion for a mistrial.
Yes.
Because they say her testimony was so prejudicial. I mean, it was pretty bad. I mean, she talked about how, you know, she was in the hotel room. He invited her to dinner. He answered the door in silk pajamas. There was no dinner. She asked to use the restroom. When she tried to leave, he blocked her passage and then said, "Don't you want to get out of the trailer park?" Basically said, "You need to have sex with me and I will help your career."
Right. Which sounds a lot in line with, you know, stuff that I think he has been accused of in the past.
Correct. And then he said that she reminded him of Ivanka, which made me shudder.
Gross on so many levels.
And then had a very brief sexual encounter, didn't wear a condom. She was shaking when she left. She wished she would have said no. But, you know, that doesn't sound like consensual sex to me. But none of that is really relevant to the case other than trying to, you know, make her story seem credible, because Trump is arguing that it never happened.
Right.
Right. And so the judge actually was considering this motion of mistrial. He was listening, this mistrial motion, and thought he didn't disagree with what Todd Blanche was saying on Trump's side, but he did deny. He said, "We're not in mistrial territory yet." And that's when the DA's office advised Stormy Daniels, "Don't narrate, just stick to the questions." Mm-hmm. And now she's under cross-examination by Nicholas. And I was wondering, you know, I had put out on Twitter, you know, did Trump team learn their lesson from when they sicked pit bull Joey Tacopina taco pants on E. Jean Carroll?
Yeah.
And I was wondering if they would have the woman, Susan Nicholas, cross-examine Stormy Daniels instead of a man. And they are. It is Susan Nicholas that is cross-examining her right now. And it's pretty tense. And it seems to be that the defense is that Stormy Daniels wants Donald Trump to go to jail because she owes him legal fees.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, she owes him like $500,000. She's tweeted a bunch of times, "I've never given that orange turd a penny."
Right.
Or, you know,
there's
laugh,
a
ha,
case
ha, ha.
Happening at the same time, correct? And she's like, "I don't see that affecting the case we're in now."
Yeah, she lost. No, she didn't lose, but she didn't prevail in a defamation case, and Trump was awarded attorney's fees.
Mm-hmm.
So she's been saying she's not going to pay him. And so now they're accusing this of, I guess, I mean, where does that go, though? I mean, oh, you're just, she didn't indict Donald Trump.
Right. And two things can be true at the same time. She may owe Donald Trump money, but that also does not mean he did not violate campaign finance laws with this
right.
payoff. So both things can be true at the same time.
Yeah. So it'll be interesting to see where this goes. But I've long wondered why they were going to bring some of these more explosive witnesses in. They do have to have Stormy Daniels' testimony to get it on the record that this encounter did happen, that there was something to cover up. And I thought that there was some really great wins for the prosecution today. None of this is going to be in today's cleanup on L-45 because it's today. But we will talk about it in depth on the next one. So anyway, that's what's going on in the big election interference trial. We'll keep you posted. Make sure if you're a patron of Cleanup to listen to the bonus episode this week, and we'll probably talk a little bit about it, even though we'll repeat it on the public episode. All right, we have a lot of news to get to today. Let's hit the hot notes. Hot notes. All right, first up from John Fritz at CNN. A federal judge smacked down a series of threats by Alabama's Republican Attorney General, who wants to prosecute groups that help women obtain out-of-state abortions, wading into a debate over access to the procedure that has lingered since the Supreme Court killed Roe. Now, the plaintiffs, including a group called the Yellowhammer Fund, that helps women obtain out-of-state abortions, sued Alabama Attorney General Steve Marshall after he suggested prosecution might be possible for groups that aid and abet abortions, including by helping women travel out of state. That issue has been closely watched by advocates on both sides of the abortion debate, as red states across the country ban or severely limit access to the procedure in the wake of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And that has forced many women to seek abortion in across state lines. Quote, the right to interstate travel is one of our most fundamental constitutional rights. That's U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson in a preliminary ruling on Monday. Alabama can no more restrict people from going to, say, California to engage in what is lawful there in California than it can restrict people from coming to Alabama to do what is lawful here. Now, the suits were brought not by women seeking out-of-state abortion, but by groups that intend to help them. Thompson, appointed to the bench by Jimmy Carter, wrote that a patient's right to travel was inextricably bound up with those groups. Collectively, he wrote, the groups receive as many as 95 inquiries, search inquiries, each week asking about the availability of out-of-state abortions. Quote, the Constitution protects the right to cross state lines and engage in lawful conduct in other states, including receiving an abortion. That's what Thompson wrote in his decision that will allow the lawsuit to proceed. Remember, these groups who want to help women get out-of-state abortions are suing the Alabama Republican Attorney General for threatening to prosecute them. Quote, travel is valuable precisely because it allows us to pursue opportunities elsewhere that are available elsewhere. Now, a spokeswoman for Marshall didn't immediately respond to requests for comment. Even before the Supreme Court overturned Roe, abortion rights groups warned that some states might attempt to limit out-of-state travel for the procedure. Since the Supreme Court's decision in Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization, nearly two dozen states have banned or heavily limited access to abortion. Two dozen, Dana. Florida's six-week abortion ban just took effect last week, for instance, cutting off access to the procedure in most of the southern United States. Alabama has banned abortion with no exception for rape or incest. Quote, I think we will see statements like these increase as attorneys general and other state actors try to extend their own abortion politics and policies across state lines. That's Temple University Beasley School of Law, Dean Rochelle Rabouche. Quote, this is the world Dobbs created, one of intense interstate conflict. The Supreme Court's majority opinion in Dobbs didn't deal with out-of-state travel, but Justice Brett Kavanaugh, a conservative who joined the court's 5-4 majority to overturn Roe, wrote separately to suggest that the question wasn't an especially difficult one to decide. Quote, as I see it, some of the other abortion-related legal questions raised by today's decision are not specifically difficult as a constitutional matter. For example, may a state bar a resident of that state from traveling to another state to obtain an abortion? In my view, the answer is no, based on the constitutional right to interstate travel. Access to abortion medication, another option for women in states that ban the procedure, is also, as we know, facing a legal challenge. Supreme Court this year considered a suit by conservative doctors and dentists who say the Food and Drug Administration overstepped its authority by expanding access to the abortion pill mifepristone. The Alabama groups were represented, by the way, by the American Civil Liberties Union. The decision, quote, brings us one step closer to ensuring that healthcare providers can fulfill their ethical duties to their patients and to establishing that pregnant Alabamians can access comprehensive information about their legal healthcare options. That's Allison Mulman, legal director of the ACLU of Alabama.
Thank you so much, AG. This one's from the Associated Press. Brad Parscale. Am I saying Brad's last name right? Parscale?
I think it's Parscale.
Parscale. Brad Parscale. He's the digital guru behind Donald Trump's surprise victory, in very surprise victory, in 2016's election. He was promoted to manage the 2020 campaign. But he didn't last long in that job. His personal life unraveled in public, and he later texted a friend that he felt, quote, guilty for helping Trump win after the riot of the U.S. Capitol. That was January 6th.
Yeah, and it's funny because when this story says his personal life unraveled, he was tackled by the cops out front of his house.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. I remember
that
this.
Guy. That's,
I think he was in his underwear.
He was holding a beer.
Holding a beer. Yep.
That's
I remember this,
guy. This
now. Thank you. He has since become an evangelist about the power of artificial intelligence to transform how Republicans can run political campaigns. And his company is working for Trump's 2024 bid, trying to help the presumptive Republican nominee take back the White House from Democratic President Joe Biden. Now, here's what to know about Parscale and his new role. He says his company, and it's called Campaign Nucleus, it can use AI to help generate customized emails, parse oceans of data to gauge voter sentiment, and find persuadable voters. He can also amplify the social media posts of, quote, anti-woke influencers, according to an Associated Press review of Parscale's public statements, his company's documents, slide decks, marketing materials, and other records not previously made public. Soon, Parscale says his company will deploy an app that harnesses AI to assist campaigns in collecting absentee ballots in the same way drivers for DoorDash or Grubhub pick up dinners from restaurants and deliver them to customers. AG, isn't that ballot harvesting?
It's legal in some places.
It is okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Parscale was a relatively unknown web designer in San Antonio, Texas, when he was hired to build a web presence for Trump's family business. That led to a job on the future president's 2016 campaign. He was one of its first hires and superheaded an unorthodox digital strategy. Goodness, Dana. Teaming up with the scandal-plagued Cambridge Analytica. So all this ties together, and they did that to help propel Trump to the White House. Quote, I pretty much used Facebook to get Trump elected in 2016. That's what Parscale said in a 2022 podcast interview. Following Trump's surprise win, his influence grew. This is Parscale's influence. He was promoted to manage Trump's reelection bid and enjoyed celebrity status, a towering figure, 6'8". He's huge, with a Viking-style beard. Parscale was frequently spotted at campaign rallies, taking selfies with Trump supporters and signing autographs. Parscale was replaced as campaign manager not long after a rally in Tulsa, Oklahoma, drew an unexpectedly small crowd, and that enraged Donald.
That was you remember when the K-pop stands?
Yep, they bought out all the,
well, not all bought the tickets.
Out. They signed up for them.
And they signed up for that rally, which was, by the way, in Tulsa on the anniversary of the Tulsa massacre.
Yeah.
And
it's awful.
Yeah. So they had this whole overflow extra stage where they were expecting tens of thousands of people. And like literally, I'm serious, like 11 showed up.
Yeah.
And that's what got him canned.
That's probably why they would have banned TikTok. All right. Since last year, Campaign Nucleus and other Parscale linked companies have been paid more than $2.2 million by Trump's campaign, the Republican National Committee, and their related political action and fundraising committees. Campaign finance records show all of this. Parscale did not respond to questions from the AP about what he's doing for the Trump campaign. Trump has called artificial intelligence so scary and dangerous, while his campaign, which has shied away from highlighting Parscale's role, said in an emailed statement that it did not, quote, engage or utilize tools supplied by any AI company.
Whoops.
Yep. Parscale occasionally offered glimpses of the AI future he envisions, casting himself as an outsider to the Republican establishment. He has said he sees AI as a way to undercut elite Washington consultants, whom he describes as political parasites. In January, Parscale told a crowd assembled at a grassroots Christian event in Pasadena, California, at a church, that their movement needed, and I quote, to have our own AI from creative large language models and creative imagery. We need to reach our own audiences with our own distribution, our own email systems, our own texting systems, and our own ability to place TV ads. And lastly, we need to have our own influencers. So this is scary as shit because people can't tell the difference between these real and AI ads and images. So
yeah, and they're using AI to do the work of what a grassroots campaign would do.
Yeah.
So that's also a problem. And I mean, what happened to Brad Parscale's arrest?
I would love to know. This seems, I feel like this is a violation of a probation, but maybe I'm wrong.
Well, I mean, you got to break a law to violate probation, but I have no idea.
Oh, I just wish that there was something set up that he wasn't allowed to participate in the election in any way, you know?
That'd be nice, but I don't think he's been charged. All right, from Rachel Bade at Politico, Marjorie Taylor Greene has named her price for backing down on her threat to call a vote on Speaker Mike Johnson's removal. She doesn't have the votes to do it, but she's making demands with an empty threat.
Of course.
In a nearly 2-hour-long meeting yesterday requested by Marjorie to explore potential off-ramps from what? The MAGA firebrand, stop calling her that. An allied rep, Thomas Massey, outlined several policy demands they're seeking before calling off their plans that will fail. They include, according to people familiar with the talks, no further aid for Ukraine, a return to the Hastert rule, meaning no legislation is brought to a vote without support from a majority of the House majority. Wow. No, that's awful. Yeah. Defunding the special counsel probe, Jack Smith, defunding his stuff, his probes into former President Trump. Congress can't do that.
No.
You dumbass. That is a permanent treasury fund.
Yeah.
That funds the, anyway. Okay. Well, she's not doing this because she thinks it's reasonable. Enforcement of the Massey rule, whereby government funding is automatically cut across the board if no superseding agreement is reached before a set deadline. No. And they'll meet again today at 12:30 in hopes of finding an off-ramp here. Spokespeople for Green and Johnson declined to comment in their discussions, but the speaker struck a conciliatory note after yesterday's meeting, sympathizing with Marjorie and pledging to keep this team together. Okay, big guy. Make no mistake. The pressure for Republican Party unity in an election year is weighing on Green, who is battling exasperated GOP colleagues and skepticism from the party's unquestioned leader, Trump. She was disinvited to something recently, or not invited. I can't remember, but some Trump thing. Oh, and by the way, this is totally a tangent, but Trump is going to be planning to attend a Minnesota fundraiser for Republicans on May 17th.
Yep. And you know what that is.
That's Barron's graduation. Now, maybe he'll go to both.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. We'll see. This article goes on to say that Johnson could be in a position to grant at least some of Green's requests, since this Congress has effectively finished passing controversial must-do items like funding the government, raising the debt ceiling, and extending surveillance authorities. That's FISA. Johnson can probably stick to the Hastert rule, named for former now disgraced Speaker Dennis Hastert. Democrats agreed to a version of the Massey rule during last year's spending talks with then Speaker Kevin McCarthy, so Johnson could probably go there as well. On Ukraine, Congress just sent Kyiv $60 billion, enough to last through the year. Though Green might also want to strike an expected 9-figure aid authorization in the annual Pentagon policy bill that's expected to move later this year. But I think it's October. But defunding special counsel Jack Smith's and Trump investigations could be much trickier. Yeah, much trickier. Fucking impossible. Okay. That's my little addition to this story. Frontline Republicans in the past have balked at such demands, to say nothing of Democrats. If Green is expecting Johnson to put up a fight on a much anticipated September continuing resolution, that would be a recipe for a federal shutdown just weeks before the election. The two sides don't have a deal yet, and they probably will never get one. But it's clear that temperatures are dropping, at least. A handshake solution is, after all, in the interest of both parties. It would spare Johnson a risky vote. It's not risky. They don't have... where he'd be relying on the generosity of Democrats to save his gavel. We have put in writing that we will do that. I swear to God, some days. Dana, I swear to God. As for Green, her relationship with Trump and his inner circle is on the line, we're told. The former president, quote, could not have been clearer, one person close to him said last night, in signaling that he isn't interested in any more inter-party drama this election season.
Oh, okay. Boy. Okay, then we should stop it all. Good luck. Good luck indeed, because this person's not helping at all. And this is from Axios. South Dakota Governor Kristi Noem pitched herself to a top NRA job as early as last fall. This is from two sources. They told Axios.
She didn't have enough guns to kill all the puppies. Apparently. She wanted to.
Ugh, awful human being. Noem offered to step down early as governor for the role, by the way, according to a person familiar with her conversation with former NRA CEO Wayne LaPierre.
Wait, she was going to quit her governor?
Uh-huh, for this.
Oh, wow.
Late last fall, Noem called LaPierre to advocate to be the next executive vice president or CEO of the gun lobby. Noem is now in a heated PR cycle because she can't shut her mouth over passages in her book about shooting her dog and meeting Kim Jong-un, which she never did. Noem has long been aligned with the NRA, signing an executive order during its annual conference last year. Her name came up in very senior NRA circles immediately after LaPierre resigned in January. That's according to a source familiar. LaPierre has little official control over who will be tapped as his successor, but the 76-person board, stocked with many people he nominated, will vote to determine who obtains that position. Noem was previously seen as a potential contender to be Trump's running mate. She has vehemently defended her decision to shoot her dog Cricket, arguing the 14-month-old animal was dangerous and untrainable. When pressed on the supposed Kim Jong-un meeting, Noem refused to provide any definite answer, but said the book would be changed when it's reprinted. A spokesperson for Noem, quote, unequivocally denied that the governor had a conversation with LaPierre. Quote, she loves her job as governor of South Dakota. This is from Ian Fury. That's what he told Axios. LaPierre, through his lawyer, Kent Correll, declined to comment. So who knows what the truth is about this whole thing? Because everyone over on that team's lips move and they're lying. So who knows what happened at this point?
Yeah, maybe she saw like triangulating her chances as being VP nominee if she could control the amount of money donated through the NRA
possibly
to Donald Trump while Laura Trump was running the RNC.
I mean, you know, it is possible, but with all the scrutiny that NRA is under after this case, I'd be shocked if they put her in that sort of a position.
She'd be in charge of a sinking ship.
Yeah,
I mean, seriously, and probably she didn't put that much thought into it. It was probably just like guns, awesome, here we go, pew pew pew. That was probably all it was. All right, thank you for that. That is our news. We have some good news that we have to get to, but we have to take a quick break first. So everybody, stick around. We'll be right back.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Hello, my overwhelmed foodies. Are you tired of the endless what is for dinner debate? I found my culinary savior with Home Chef, the standout among the sea of meal kit options, I'm telling you. With Home Chef, I no longer dread dinner. There's no decisions to make. I don't have to resort to unsatisfying takeout that drains my wallet. These meals are a breeze to prepare, no lengthy prep cooking times. They deliver fresh quality ingredients right to my door. It's not just mealtime. It is a gourmet experience that's effortless and economical. It's fantastic. It saves me money and it saves me time and it makes my taste buds happy. So Home Chef has over 30 options a week and serves a variety of dietary needs, so you don't have to worry about what to make ahead of time. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering you 18 free meals, plus free dessert for life, and of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/dailybeans. Now, Home Chef redefines convenience with their fresh chef-designed recipes delivered right to your doorstep. It's so convenient. It saves me money. It saves me time. I absolutely love this. Not only do they make cooking hassle-free, they do it cost effectively. On average, Home Chef customers save about $86 a month on groceries. That's huge. Last night, I tried Home Chef's garlic sesame steak strip noodle bowl. It was incredible. Ready in about 15 minutes, this express meal featured tender steak strips drizzled with garlic sesame sauce atop Asian noodles mixed with crisp bok choy. It was so good. Little carrots finished with crunchy peanuts and some sesame seeds. It was quick, flavorful. Made my evening easy and delicious. Home Chef consistently delivers with these fresh, fast, and tasty meals. For a limited time, Home Chef is offering you 18 free meals plus free desserts for life. And of course, free shipping on your first box. Go to homechef.com/dailybeans. That's homechef.com/dailybeans for 18 free meals and free dessert for life. You heard that right. Must be an active subscriber to receive the free dessert. Everybody, welcome back. It's time for the good news.
Good news.
good news.
And if you have good news, send it in to us at dailybeanspod.com. That's the end. No, okay, I'll go through the list. If you have confessions, if you have corrections, we love corrections. Please send those in. We want to make sure we get everything right. What the fark is in your arc, which is like what the mutt, opine on the bovine, what the hequine, what's the model of your oxalotl, cat me if you can, what the hell is in that shell? Will you assume the bloom? I guess we have a flower guessing game now. We didn't guess, by the way. I thought it might have been a hibiscus. Anyway, that was yesterday.
I said a Gerber daisy, yeah. But I have no idea.
We did go with the Gerber daisies. Again, that's just how my brain works. It completely forgets. Like, I remember Brad Parscale getting arrested and tackled on his front step, holding a beer, wearing blue shorts. Do I remember what I said yesterday?
Nope.
No.
Nope.
So if you have any great stories about a Democratic program that's helped you, whether it's the Affordable Care Act, Medicare, Medicaid, Social Security, if you have a great story about VA healthcare, and definitely if you have a student debt relief story, we would love to hear. The White House received all of your stories. They absolutely loved them, and I will continue to send those in as you send them in to us. And you can do that by going to dailybeanspod.com and clicking on contact. First up from Scott in Minnesota, pronouns he and him. Not so much a correction for you, but all, okay, not so much a correction for you, but for all media.
No.
Cricket was displaying the type of behavior we look for in a young pointing dog. We say the first year is for the dog and you should have zero expectations. One thing we do in training pointing dogs is to let them run and chase birds, as many as they can find. Sounds like what he was doing, right? They learn how to find birds. And also that they cannot catch them without cooperating with you. This incentivizes them to hold point, which is a breed trait.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bred trait. But my God, you do not do it with other hunters and dogs present in an overstimulating bird-rich environment. Killing chickens? That's a bird he can actually catch. We want the pup to be bird-driven. But giving him the opportunity to catch chickens is the opposite of what we're trying to teach them. He clearly did not know how to react to the collar and therefore was never collar conditioned. I use a beep for recall and a vibrate as a warning to heed if the beep is ignored. My dogs understand this as we train in the yard with the collars. We want our pointing dogs to range out and find birds. Cricket seemed to excel at this. This is the type of dog that we want. He just needed obedience training, collar conditioning, and more time in the field. So it's a little frustrating to me when I hear Cricket wasn't a good hunting dog. He was exactly what we want in that age range. I also don't believe for a second that he bit kids. At this age, all they want to do is play and run and find birds. Here's my pet tax. My two French Brittanys, Theo, 2 years old, and Stella, 2.5. The goggles were to protect their eyes, but they won't wear them for more than 10 seconds. Love you both and love the pod. Keep up the good work and look at these beautiful working dogs.
Scott, I love this. And I thank you for, I mean, I just learned a lot about, you know, bird dogs during this submission. So also this bullshit that Christy Noem was like, I did it for my children. They were attacking my children. Well, that's weird because in her book, she said she was heartbroken when her daughter was like, where's Cricket? Not where's that dog that won't stop attacking me? I'm so afraid. Yeah. Like, it was just gross.
Yeah.
She's such a liar.
That's just it. That the dog bit the kids. I even questioned that the dog killed chickens.
Right. I'll question the whole story.
She didn't meet with Kim Jong-un.
She stared him down, Allison. How dare you?
Did you hear? She stared him down like the little tyrants she teaches at church.
Yeah, because she's a youth pastor. I was like, this is getting way worse.
Is she just, yeah, I was talking about that yesterday. I'm like, that was the news for me, that she was comparing children to Kim Jong-un. Okay.
Okay. We're going to keep going with the good news, people. Sorry for that little bit of an off-railing there. This is from Jen, pronouns she and her. Hello.
Hello.
Trudy, who shared the information for blind and other disabled voters, inspired me to write in. Thank you. I'm a listener since the kitchen table days, and I'm so addicted to the Daily Beans and the good news. I consider it as essential as my meds for chronic depression. Oh. You add so much sunshine into my day and the required amounts of swearing. Anywho, I'm finally writing in to share resources and info about things we can all do to improve accessibility. Global Accessible Awareness Day, or what they call GAAD, G-A-A-D, is May 16th. This year, I helped write up a list of helpful things people can do to turn awareness to action. The link is going to be in our show notes, everybody. These small acts of inclusion help us move forward to build a flexible world to help anyone who's with disabilities, injuries, or just too much stress and distraction manage more easily. Also, as another proud moment, I'm up for a vote to be added Seattle's Lighthouse for the Blind Board, also on May 16th. To honor the day and bring things full circle, I'm hosting and asking others to watch their favorite shows and movies with audio descriptions.
Huh.
Yeah. The Lighthouse is an amazing organization and is raising funds for their low vision clinic. We tend to forget that glasses and contact lenses are our most common assistive technology that so many of us couldn't function without, me included. I have some on right now as I read this. As Pod Pet Tax, here is my German Shepherd dog, Reese, who I've shared before. We take walks in our local park and make friends with the crows to walk with us and help manage her prey drive. I'm sure I look like a weirdo with crows swirling me and my GSD, but whatevs. Here she is with our winged friends at a safe distance, hoping to catch any of her savory treats she leaves behind because she is such a picky eater. Gratitude to you both, your amazing team at MSW, and all of the Leguminati for creating such an amazing community for people I feel so connected and supported by. Take care. This is a very cool picture.
It is. The dog and like a murder of crows.
Yep.
Beautiful, beautiful German Shepherd. Thank you so much, Jen. Thank you for all the kind words. Next up, we have Andrea, aka Resistance Schnauzers, retired. Pronouns she and her. Hello, ladies of the legumes. Been a fan since the early kitchen table days. Nice. I love the good news segment and have some of my own to share. After my bestest boy, Rocky, crossed the Rainbow Bridge in January, he didn't want me to be sad. And in April, he sent me someone else to love and care for. Meet Manny, my little man. He's 7 years old. He's 7 pounds. Manny was rescued from a schnauzer, quote unquote, puppy mill in North Carolina. By far, he's the tiniest little schnauzer I've ever met. And also the most cheerful. Everyone is his friend. Though, when the squirrels next door are bigger than you, wouldn't you also try to befriend them too? I bring you Manny for a what the mutt. There might be schnauzer in there somewhere, but what else? And what kind of designer breed name shall we give him? Is it a schnorky, a schnoodle, a schninpin, a schnawawa? Your guess is as good as mine. Keep up the good work. First of all,
I think it's a schnorky.
I think it's a schnorky as well. And maybe a schnorky doodle. I feel like there's an oodle in there.
There might be.
That's adorable. This little tiny, tiny,
it
sweet
is
baby.
So cute.
Thank you for sharing that.
All right. This one's from Matt. Pronouns he and him. Hello to my favorite two beans on a pod. It finally happened. I got that wonderful email. Your loans have been paid in full. I honestly didn't expect all of it to get paid off, and I kind of gave up hope that I might get some relief, but it finally happened. I graduated from culinary school with a bachelor's in 1999, and I had been paying on that loan since then, so for almost 25 years now. During the pandemic, when they paused interest payments, was the only time I've really been seen my number actually go down. I went back to school in 2010 when the downturn finally closed the restaurant where I was chef, thinking that I would have a career change, but it didn't take and ended up owing more than I borrowed after paying on the new loan for almost 15 years. Words cannot express how I'm feeling except for holy shit, what a relief. Mm. For Pet Tax, I include a pic of the 4 kittens that recently showed up to my job. Mm. There are lots of feral cats on the island I now find myself living, and these 4 seem to have adopted the restaurant I call home. We're working on trapping them and getting them fixed. And they may just end up as mascots for the restaurant as they get more brave and come out from under the building to play and get used to people. Thanks for all you do. Keep up the amazing work. And these kittens are so sweet.
Oh my gosh, they're adorable. And I love restaurant mascot kittens,
right?
By the way. I am 100% in approval of this. When I go on vacation a lot of the places will have like the cat.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I'll see the cat every night in the same place.
Yeah.
I love it. Next up from Krista, pronouns she and her. I've been listening for some time now, but I've never written in. Even though I enjoy all the podcasts and everyone else's good news, I finally have something newsworthy of sharing. So I thought I'd write you to tell you about it. But first, the backstory. I'm a teacher and I love my job. When I was 24, I was really sick. And when the doctors finally figured out what was wrong, they said I wasn't going to make it. I asked how long and they said, if there's anything you need to do, now is the time.
Oh, Lord.
I told them I wanted to get my doctorate and they said I'd never live to see the end of it, but they wished me luck. So I quit my job and went to get my degree. I saw doctors at all of the major research hospitals around the country and enrolled in whatever treatment was available. It wasn't cancer, in case you're wondering. It's more of a lifelong thing. I was told two more times I'd never live to see the end of treatment or the cure. But here I am, killing it 20-some years later.
Wow.
All of this to say, I got that doctorate.
Nice.
But I acquired massive student loan debt that I was sure I would die with. But this weekend, I got the news. All of my loans have been forgiven.
Wow.
Every last dime. It was almost $200,000. I cried at the kitchen table with joy and relief. I can get a car loan, a house loan, or move jobs if I want. So much freedom for all the little things that I couldn't do before. I've paid on the loans that I took for 13 years and I owed more than I borrowed. So I just wanted to see if you could please let the Biden administration know how grateful I am. I just want them to know that with all of the little people like me, that we're grateful for this huge impact that they have, that it has on daily life. I don't know what the future will bring for me, but I know it won't be crushing debt and an inability to meet my family's needs. Oh, and I called my Republican relatives just to let them know because, well, yeah, I'm that bitch. Fuck yeah,
Krista. Oh my God, Krista.
You know, somebody wrote in recently and was like really like kind of offended that John Fugelsang calls me Ms. Gill instead of Dr. Gill. Mm-hmm. And I wrote back and I said, I only make Republicans call me Dr. Gill.
Nice.
For Pod Pet Tax, Krista's including a picture of her dog, Scoog. That's a great name. His ears give him away, so God. You don't need to guess his breed. He's a Frenchie. He's a French
cute.
Bulldog. Thank you for all you do. Please keep bringing us the good news with all the swearing. My sanity depends on it. I'm a teacher, after all. Thank you for your service.
Krista, this
teacher,
is awesome. Krista. This whole submission. Congratulations on getting the loans and also for like beating the odds. Like, keep on surviving.
Right.
Enjoy every moment of this. I'm so glad you're getting more time on this earth with us.
Incredible. And this dog is beautiful. Like, that looks like the softest little forehead wrinkles ever.
Know, that was the cutest goddamn puppy on the planet.
Ugh,
they're so sweet.
Adorable. Thank you, everyone. We got two student debt relief stories today. There's so many out there. Please send them in to us along with any other good news you have. Seriously, anything you can think of that's a little uplifting, even if you just want to write in and tell us something amazing about yourself. And attach your baby picture just for good measure.
Just for
Dana
me.
Loves this. Yeah. Just do it at dailybeanspod.com and click on contact. Do you have any final thoughts before we get out of here for the day, my friend?
No, not for today.
All right. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day and the rest of you have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll be back in your ears tomorrow. Until then, please take care of yourself. Take care of each other. Take care of the planet. Take care of your mental health. Take care of your family. Vote blue over Q.
And you know what? Take all that family with you.
Every single one of them. I've been AG.
And I've been DG.
And them's the Beans. The Daily Beans is written and executive produced by Allison Gill, with additional research and reporting by Dana Goldberg. Sound design and editing is by Desiree McFarlane, with art and web design by Joel Reeder with Moxie Design Studios. Music for The Daily Beans is written and performed by They Might Be Giants, and the show is a proud member of the MSW Media Network, a collection of creator-owned podcasts dedicated to news, politics, and justice. For more information, please visit mswmedia.com. MSW Media.
Hi, this is John Cryer, and I am hosting a new 7-part true crime podcast called Lawyers, Guns, and Money that'll challenge everything you think you know about U.S. covert operations and presidential misconduct. From Jack Bryan, the director of American PSYOP, comes the incredible true story of John Mattis, a newly sworn-in Miami public defender in the 1980s who has found himself completely in over his head.
I step off the plane, and there is a van with a couple guys with Uzis. And one of them in broken English said, "Welcome to Bogota, John."
Mattis's first felony defendant has been arrested for having a machine gun and tells Mattis a dangerous secret.
He was shipping arms into Central America on behalf of the CIA. As a first-time lawyer, I want to act like I know what I'm doing.
But with the help of a Colombian drug smuggler,
how much money the CIA raised by hitting up drug dealers?
A lot of money, millions of dollars.
An Alabama mercenary.
They were prepared to die to the last man. I saw this in them. I saw the fire in their eyes. And they made me their war chief.
And a newly elected senator, John Kerry,
We are looking at allegations of drug running, gun smuggling, conspiracy to commit murder and murder itself.
He'll fight to free his client.
The judge said, show me in a courtroom how we were at war.
Expose an illegal war being run by the White House.
I mean, I wanted him involved, but I didn't want to be on record as doing it.
And somehow stay alive in the process.
I just escaped a kidnapping by the CIA in Costa Rica.
This is Lawyers, Guns, and Money.
So you have a man in an Armani suit standing on the bow of a boat with a rocket launcher and says, if I lose sight of you, I will launch. You will be vaporized.
Available everywhere starting October 29th, or get it ad-free and early starting October 22nd at lawyersgunsandmoney.supercast.com. There you'll find bonus episodes along with exclusive content. Subscribe now.
Hi, I'm Frances Callier.
And I'm Angela V. Shelton.
And we're Frangela.
You know what you need in your life? The Final Word podcast.
Yes, you do.
That's right. It is the final word on all things political and pop cultural.
Where we make real news real funny.
Where we inspire you so you can hashtag resist.
Subscribe and get a new episode of the Final Word podcast each week. It's the news we think you need to hear.
That's right. We think you need to hear it. Okay.
Yeah, it's what we say so.
That's right. And because all we do is give, every Thursday you can listen to our hysterical podcast, Idiot of the Week.
We round up the stupid because you know what? Somebody has to.
Okay. All we do is give.